Los Angeles is a sprawl of broken dreams and lost opportunities, disconnected souls, and entertainment junkies. The sunny skies and graceful palms don't redeem jammed roadways to nowhere. Carolyn Hart.
Welcome to Ghost Spaghetti, the podcast where two people talk about all things ghosts and occasionally something spaghetti while being experts at neither. My name's Jason.
My name's Red.
And that quote was bleak.
I agree. And I raise you a deliciously bleak. I feel that it can be easy to dump on Los Angeles as a place that lacks depth and gravitas. But I also feel that reputation isn't exactly true.
Agreed. It's a place of strangeness and story.
I hope you mean ghost story.
You know I mean ghost story.
Great. Because I have four great ones to tell you right now, and they all take place right here in the City of Angels. Two of them are purported to be true, and two of them are of my own imagination. You can guess which is which at the very end, but please choose wisely, as they're all deceptively plausible.
I've been warned.
Indeed. Okay, story number one, Ghostly Governor. Alvera Street is one of, if not the most, historic areas in Los Angeles. A stone's throw away, across the plaza, is a three-story edifice known as the Pico Mansion. The mansion was erected in 1870 by businessman and former Mexican governor Pio Pico, and at the time, it was probably the most luxurious hotel in Southern California. There were 82 rooms and modern amenities. For a time, life was glorious, and Pio Pico's expensive mansion hotel was the toast of the town. Unfortunately, his success would not last. Over time, city life immigrated from the Alvera Street area to the hustle and bustle of downtown that we still know today. And because of this, patronage for the illustrious hotel dropped, and Pico slowly lost more and more money on his ultimately bad investment. It's said that he still wanders the ground of the Pico House to this day, in solitude, mourning the grandeur that once was, and yearning for the power that was once his.
That's a truly LA story.
Agreed. All right, story number two, Trapped in a Victorian Mansion. Where modern marvels such as the Broad and the Bonaventure currently sit, there once was a quaint LA neighborhood known as Bunker Hill. It was a stately place where the creme de la creme sat above the hustle and bustle of the city. Most residents used the Angels Flight funicular to shuffle to the city and back when necessary. It was a place that strove to be stately and beautiful. The streets were lined with Victorian mansions and notable residents. But as happens, eventually the neighborhood changed. In the years since, many have tried to perpetuate the story that the neighborhood was heavily in decline and ridden with crime and squalor. However, some who actually lived there paint a more innocuous picture. They say it became more of a neighborhood for pensioners or retirees, people looking to pass the time in single rooms rented from the formerly fabulous palaces of grandeur. In any case, by 1958, the hill had been demolished, its residents displaced, and our beautiful mansion-lined street heritage gone. In its place, right now, is a mishmash of concrete, and it includes the Broad and the Bonaventure, like I said before. It's said that those who hope to experience a good night's sleep at the hotels in that current area that occupy the former space now have vivid dreams of Bunker Hill's bygone Victorian mansion era. And those dreams involve such details as taking Angel's Flight to the city center and grabbing a bite to eat at Central Market. It's believed that these dreams are caused by the collective ghosts and people and buildings from the neighborhood that once was.
I recommend that you Google the old Bunker Hill, the homes that were there, the four-story, five-story homes, and the grandeur that once was.
I will definitely take that recommendation under consideration. All right, our third story, The Child in the Subway. Somewhere between today's red line and yesteryear's streetcars, L.A. began experimenting with a New York-style subway car. It was very short-lived and very short-tracked. However, the tracks did extend at least from the Millennium Biltmore Hotel to the subway terminal building, which is located near the Central Market. I'm sharing this with you not simply to entice you into learning LA's transit history, but to clue you in that to this day, a subway platform exists underground in this location. That in itself is spooky, the ghost of public transit. What adds to this are the sightings that have occurred there. It's reported that maintenance and other workers who have caused to be in the now defunct terminal have reported seeing a young red-haired girl on the tracks within the tunnel. It's also said that each worker who happens to have a can of spray paint handy sprays a small cross to mark the occasion of the sighting. This has resulted in fields of crossings marking the child's afterlife playing ground.
I'll be absolutely terrified to walk by and see a whole bunch of crosses on the wall.
Agreed, regardless of knowing the meaning or not. All right, and here is our last story, Haunts of Hank Chinaski. One Angelina who should need no introduction is acclaimed writer and probably so-so mailman, Charles Bukowski. Charles Bukowski published many poems and autobiographical novels in which he's assumed to be the main character, Hank Chinaski. Charles Bukowski also spent untold hours in LA's gem and temple of learning, the Central Library. Los Angeles lost Charles Bukowski in March of 1994. However, it's rumored that on particularly quiet days, patrons in the Central Library's philosophy room, and sometimes the fiction room, can hear pages turning and an older man gruffly muttering to himself, "It's like finding gold in the city dump."
On a side note, Bukowski's old stomping ground, King Eddie's Saloon. I got kicked out of there about 3 years ago for throwing up during a punk rock show.
Ghost Spaghetti, keeping it classy.
And now it's time for ghost guidance.
Well, before we go into ghost guidance, you can't escape that quickly. Let's hear it. Which two do you think are real and which are the product of my red imagination?
I'm going to say that the child in the subway is a product of your imagination, your prodigious imagination, and the Bukowski story.
Well, you're half right. The child in the subway is purported to be a true story. Bukowski was my own wishful thinking. Another product of my own wishful thinking is the Bunker Hill story. I would give anything to have a vivid dream in which I am a resident of Bunker Hill. So those are our four stories. And now I will allow you to lead us into Ghost Guidance.
Well, Ghost Guidance is a spot for us to write and share anything ghost or spaghetti related that we are compelled to mention. Red, what have you got?
Well, buddy, I got L.A. and Ghost on the mind, so I'm recommending Ghostbusters. I'm sure you know, but what some of our spaghetti friends may not know is that some of the best scenes from 1984's Ghostbusters were filmed right here in Los Angeles. The interiors of Bukowski's beloved Central Library were stand-ins for New York's Public Library. The beautiful Millennium Biltmore was a true location that Slimer showed off his gastronomical prowess. And LA's decommissioned Fire Station 23 served as the interior of Ghostbuster headquarters. What do you got?
That's pretty good. I actually have a story to recommend by Karen Russell called Haunting Olivia. It's a gorgeous story about a missing sister and her two brothers who go looking for her. The story is profoundly written and absolutely gorgeously composed. I definitely recommend.
Awesome.
And that's this week's episode of Ghost Spaghetti. I hope you enjoy this episode and left you dying for more. If you know of an LA-based ghostly tale,
or if you want to clue us into another great city chock full of ghosts,
please email us at ghostspaghettipodcast@gmail.com.
To spook us on Instagram, we are at ghostspaghettipodcast, or find us and our ghost notes at ghostspaghetti.com. Catch you later, meatballs.